I think we're joining us here on State of Play. There's a lot happening in the world of politics. I mean, why? Because we have 51 days now to the elections. But that is also why this conversation we're about to have on State of Play is interesting. 51 days to election. You don't upset the you don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. You really want the boat to go into the elections and your plans, everything intact. But when then you see Haruna Idrisu sending a, it wasn't a motion from what I understand.
Yeah, well, it looks
asking
like
the speaker to rule on the four MPs, sitting MPs.
I mean, it was supposed to be a motion to be debated, but you know, that too.
Yes.
Forson found himself, you know, found a way of bringing it up. The speaker says he's going to rule on it today. We've been checking. Parliament virtually empty today. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I mean, you're right. It's just some 51 days to election.
The question really I have is, what is the strategic benefit to the NDC for making this a case and a matter for parliamentarians to debate and for a decision to be taken on? I see the numerical advantage that if indeed the seats are declared vacant, they lose one, but MPP will lose three.
Yeah.
So that hands them the advantage. Of course, consider that you have the 2025 budget in November, that then becomes, of course, an opportunity to frustrate government business going forward.
But that would be a expenditure in advance of appropriation.
Yeah.
Not really much would be said, except that, you know, government would, because it's an election year, government would want some funds that it can spend up until March 2025, before the reading of the main budget. But what's the advantage? Today, I mean, Parliament would rise shortly. They'll go back, they'll come back in. I mean, Parliament would, you know, deal with the expenditure in advance of appropriation or whatever. And then that's it. They're going to campaign. But I think it's more of the signal, a sense, that the NDC became majority in Parliament at a point. That's how I see it. I mean, it's just like, do I call it a moral? No, it's not even a moral victory. This is more of, you know, the fact that for this is more like saying, oh, we're the majority. We're the majority. But you see, this is it for me. If Speaker Alban Sumana Kingsford Bagbin were to rule and uphold and say a motion upheld, okay? You know what that means, Evans?
Tell me.
It means Parliament actually has to reconstitute its committees.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something they can do right now?
It's too close to the election. I don't see how this inures to, of course, I see the numerical advantage, but with 50 days to go before an election, the advantage isn't, well, I mean, also the fact that if you have, so in effect, NDC will now have 276.
Yeah.
MPP will now have 200 and what?
No, NDC will have 136.
Sorry, 136.
And MPP would have
135? 35, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So every business, you have the majority. The NDC will have the majority in the House. Okay. So that obviously is an advantage. That's the point you made. And then, of course, you get to control government business in anything else that, you know, Parliament will do.
You get to frustrate government business.
You have a numerical advantage. But for this particular constituencies in question, these sitting MPs, having now lost their seat, as in essence, they you know, can also go to Parliament to represent their people.
So you see, the problem here is the constitution. I don't know why Haruna Idrisu chose to bring it up at this time. But it's also good for him. I mean, as a man who's been in the past accused of a thing or two, it's good that today we're talking about something that was initiated, started by Haruna Idrisu, you know, former minority leader. We know the circumstances under which he was removed as minority leader.
Mm-hmm.
So if he comes out then and says, oh, this is what I want us to do, fine. Not a big deal. But look, what does the constitution say? And this morning we're having a conversation on the Super Morning Show. Professor Kofi Abuchi. The idea is that once you're voted for as a member of parliament and you are at a particular side, you don't move from that side to another side. Okay? So if you are voted for by a political party, you cannot say you've actually left your party to another party and representing the same people. And Evans, this was to prevent the issue of the 1960s, okay? where we know that some members defected to the CPP. They had been voted for on a different political party's ticket. They got to parliament and then decided to join Kwame Nkrumah's CPP.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision was that, okay.
So that's a historical antecedent behind yes. this clause in the
Constitution. So going forward, let us put in place mechanisms to prevent that situation from happening. And so if you realize, when Kofi Asante resigned from parliament, but in the case of Kofi Asante, he decided to resign from parliament. He didn't indicate that he wanted to cross over to the next side, even though in 2020, having resigned from parliament, he subsequently became the MPP's parliamentary candidate from Mfi West, where he was as an NDC member of parliament. So we put it on the side. But in 2006, and I remember this clearly because at the time when he had Yusuf Husseini coming to parliament, he came to parliament for the first time in 2006.
Yeah.
And this is how he got to parliament. He got to parliament because Professor Wayo Seni, who until his decision to defect to the NDC, at a point in time was vice chairman of the NPP.
Mm-hmm.
But following the murder of Yana Yakubu Andani, he said, and you know the Andanis at the time had accused the government of being complicit in all of this. So he then decided that he was going to cross carpet to the NDC. When he, as an Andani, when he got to the NDC, he was made the parliamentary candidate for the NDC, for Tamale Central, right? He won that seat, but then in 2006, he decided that he was going to leave the NDC side, minority side, and cross over to the NPP side.
Yeah.
And I remember, was it Alban Bagbin, if my memory serves me right? Yeah, who probably reminded him that, well, you cannot do so. So they declared a by-election. The NPP did not contest that by-election. It was, so Professor Wayo Seni contested as an independent candidate. And it was that by-election that actually brought Yusuf Husseini to parliament.
Mm.
So that's, I mean, so that's what happened. Because in his case, he said he wants to go to his mother party and attempted a crossover from the minority to the majority. These people, my understanding of the spirit and of the law, these people are not trying to move away from the group that they work with. Okay? They have decided to stay there. And you know, this morning on this own issue, Nakomiya was talking about the fact that, yo, if you leave, and some have interpreted leaving, to mean that once the party sacks you, or you leave the party. You remember when the Supreme Court, when they went to court over whether the first deputy speaker could vote while presiding, the Supreme Court indicated that in order that in future you don't have a situation where somebody uses this as a way of denying an elected member of parliament the chance to represent his people, the first deputy speaker can vote. That was not what the constitution intended. It means he can vote. Now, this is my understanding, and I had a conversation with Professor Kofi Abuchi this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Once the person has decided to remain with a side, he hasn't done anything.
When they say remain with a side,
he's not changed sides. Because you see, the constitution is in the parliament, the parliament that you are in.
Okay, so let's read the clause.
Read the clause. Is it G or so?
It says
97.
A member of parliament, so 97. In fact, there are a series of clauses that apply to this. 97.1 says, a member of parliament shall vacate his seat in parliament, right? For the relevant part, D, and I think the D is important. If he is expelled from parliament, mm-hmm. after having been found guilty,
G.
If he resigns, right? If he resigns office as a member of parliament,
mm-hmm.
if he leaves the party of which he was a member at the time of his election to parliament to join another party,
mm-hmm.
or seeks to remain in parliament as an independent member.
Mm-hmm.
So the second part of this...
But he's not going to be in parliament as an independent...
Wait.
He's still with his political party.
If... Or seeks to remain in parliament. He seeks to remain in parliament mm-hmm. as an independent member.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, say for example, the Cynthia Mamli, right? Agona West. She is in parliament, she's a member of parliament on the ticket of the MPP.
Mm-hmm.
She now decides that I want to remain in parliament, but this time as an independent candidate.
She doesn't want to remain in this parliament.
She wants to go in the next parliament as an independent candidate.
So you see, it's a future. So what she's trying to do is a future.
So it's not for the present parliament.
No. That's my understanding. And when
I get your point. So the point there for those who argue that they are not caught by this constitutional clause, in essence, is to say, in this parliament, he is a member of parliament on the ticket of the MPP.
MPP, yes, she is.
This parliament life expires, if she wins, and that is an if, there's no guarantee that she wins. She wants to now run. She hasn't resigned from the party.
No.
Neither has she been expelled.
And that is why the party is silent.
Okay.
If the party had expelled her, then you would have said she's left her party. Mm-hmm. But even then, if she's still doing business with them,
mm-hmm.
technically speaking, she has not departed from where she came into parliament to be.
Mm.
You get the point?
Mm-hmm.
It is the independent member of parliament, with the independent part, where you come as an independent, go and join a political party.
If he leaves the party of which...
No, the second one, I think...
If he was elected mm-hmm. a member of parliament
mm-hmm.
as an independent candidate mm-hmm. and joins a political party, so mm-hmm. that's Fomina.
Yes.
So that's Fomina.
Yeah.
So in this case, he was elected as an independent.
Yes.
But he's doing business.
That's another point.
But he's joined now the MPP because he's not running for Fomina as the candidate for the MPP.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, that clause catches him fair and square, I think. Right? But if he was elected a member of parliament as an independent candidate,
you interpret it as a whole. The lawyers interpret it as a whole, and I'm sure when they get to that. And so you see, it's the reason you want to think that the case that has been sent to court, even though clearly it's obvious that Afenyo Makin just wants to prevent the speaker from pronouncing judgment on this, for the fear that if it goes against his side, he wakes up tomorrow and is minority leader. It's also important we get an interpretation to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to have a better understanding.
No, of course, I think I support that.
Yes, we need to understand this. And because now there's clarity on whether first deputy speaker or second deputy speaker while presiding can actually vote. And so this is, but for me, I see this as a futuristic thing, which doesn't have to be much of a problem.
But I see why. First of all, what is the motivation? And we asked that question at the beginning for bringing this up this time. Did Harun Edrusu was this a unilateral decision to send this to the speaker and make it an issue? Or was it a party decision? Right? Because we started by analyzing, was it strategic gain or advantage for the NDC? Is it possible that this is an entirely Harun Edrusu move?
It's possible, and that it emanated from him. He probably felt that they had an opportunity to be majority before the tenure of this parliament ends. But also, if you're Harun Edrisu, and this is it for me, politically, it's a wise move for Harun Edrisu. And because today, the man whom at a point in time, was criticized by his own party. There's some persons who felt that he could not be the one to, advocate on behalf of the party, all of those issues. If today there is an opportunity where he can actually prove that he still is a loyal member of his party, this is the opportunity.
But how does this prove his loyalty to the party?
Well, this proves it because if he succeeds, it is his, challenge of the status quo that would lead the NDC to becoming majority in parliament. And the NDC had consistently claimed that they won the parliamentary elections. So if even in the last minute, this is not a case of giving you back the number of seats that you felt you won, but this is actually through, raising questions about the suitability of people who are contesting as independent, your party becomes the majority. It's good news. And the fact that, you had the Honorable Kessie Olatoforsen raising this as part of his discussions is an indication that this probably may have the buy-in of the minority. And so, again, Harun Edrisu is in the right place.
Harun's argument for sending this, he's making the simple cases, that because they have decided to run independent, then their seats must be declared vacant.
Uh-huh.
But as we just illustrated, because they're individuals in question, they haven't changed, they haven't crossed carpet. And I heard you use that term when you're interviewing the Kofi Abuchi.
Yes.
They haven't crossed carpet. Because crossing carpet necessarily was to say, I'm NDC, but I want to go to MPP or another party. Mm-hmm. If you decide to run as an independent, you have to run as an independent, say, to say, for Mamle, would have said, in this particular parliament, I no longer want to represent the MPP. I want to represent myself. And it makes sense, right? Because the people who voted for you, it's not for anything that party sponsor candidate. And so when people are voting for you, they're also voting for the aspirations of the political party that do you're on the ticket, right? You represent. So they are voting for the individual, but also voting for the party. And political parties are only the vehicles through which people, you know, get political office. So when you change that, then of course, then the people must have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Vacating their seat becomes an issue. You have to go back and come back in. So, but the hiring egregious point, clearly from the explanation that you've given, and I agree with you, I don't see how it affects any of the three.
The three, yes. I mean, the only person it could affect, would be
the former MP.
The former MP.
Yeah. But then that also then means that they are back.
But you see, this
developed.
This is the other point. And in the past, actually, because parties have always known this, okay, one of the things parties have always done, and Joe Asewusu, your friend Joe Asewusu, took advantage of that. In 2008, he came to Parliament as an independent member of Parliament for Bekwai. By 2012, September, he had gone for a primary to become Member of Parliament on the ticket of to become a parliamentary candidate for the NPP. Now, normally, what they do is that they wait till the last quarter, okay, around September. Now, there's a feeling that for many of these persons, they knew or may have been mindful of this provision. And so they wait, and Boniface Abubakar Siddiq did the same. I know that when David Ofori Kuregu, then Member of Parliament for Bosome Freho, and he lost the primaries, he then contested as an independent candidate, came into the Parliament of 2008. He went for that primaries. For him, he lost. He tried to come back as independent. Again, he lost. Shaba, Sete Jeba, also came became Member of Parliament for Nkoko as an independent Member of Parliament. He came, went back to the MP. He lost. Unfortunately for him, he couldn't get it again. So all around those times, all of them around in September, an indication that in September, for instance, if you try to do so, the Electoral Commission cannot conduct a by-election less than 3 months to a main election. So you are allowed to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So that will give you an indication that that is a possibility. That's something that could happen in the case of the independent member of parliament. But again, this is subject to interpretation. And I'm happy it is at the Supreme Court. We're monitoring to see what Aban Sumana Kingsford
Badi. Brother Parliament,
we're told us that.
I got this briefing that what he's likely to do was to, in essence, ask a committee to look at it. So that he doesn't have to take a decision today. And the committee will have to come back and advise the entire House. So refer this to a committee to look at. And then a report will come, and the House will have to debate what to do about that. Of course, Parliament is a master of its own rules. The reason why I like that approach is because, and that then becomes a bit more considered, whatever the outcome is.
Mm.
And then that becomes a practice that then governs Parliament going forward as far as these circumstances are concerned. And you make the point. I see why individuals who agree with the party will wait till now before, you know, they play their hand. Because, of course, with 3 months on election, you can't do a by-election. They're stuck with you. But then they are within your ranks.
Yeah.
But they've told you already that they can work with you. So what then do you do with them is a big question. But for the political parties, I think this really must start with the political parties. Because first of all, the individual is a representative of the party before he goes to parliament. Uh-huh. It's the reason why all the parties' constitutions are very clear on when you go independent, what happens to you. You forfeit your membership of the party. NDC has that clause. MPP has that clause too. Why is it the parties themselves have not taken that step? Today, I saw that you were pushing that point with the two reps in the studio, both Nana Akomiya and Jinapo, on the subject. And Nana Akomiya was making the point that, of course, the party's highest decision-making body can vary that clause. Yes, of course, they've done that with the former MP. They've done that with Joe Sowuzu himself. So individuals feel that that particular clause, the parties themselves are not willing to enforce that clause. I mean, seriously, have you seen the situation in this country where a party member goes independent, right? And the party, of course, in the Fomina case, they did actually enforce that law when he first did it in 2020. Then to realize that, of course, the man had won the election. So both parties are not, they are hesitant to enforce this particular clause. But you know, the Amenfi Central one is an interesting one for me. Because you have this gentleman who the party had negotiated an exit. If you listen to the party themselves, they negotiated some of an exit. Only for him to go and say he's running as an independent candidate. But he's a member of parliament. So if you expel him from the party, what the party's constitution says you should, that then becomes a whole different constitutional conversation.
Yeah.
Because he's been expelled from the party.
Then, I mean, that's what Michael Kwee says, that if the party expels you. But now, there's also the conversation of, so if you're expelled by the party, you forfeit your seat, then the party can actually use that to get members of parliament out. Again, and these are the reasons I say.
But you remember the Adjoa Safo scenario. The MPP was actually backing the same horse and trying to get her expelled on the basis that she's absenting herself from 15 sittings continuously without written permission from the speaker. If that had succeeded, and remember that the reason it didn't succeed at the time was because the minority guys actually were defending her. The speaker himself,
yes, because they
having determined and said so whilst in the chair that the woman did not seek his permission in writing, etc., etc. If he had gone ahead, she should have vacated her seat. Right?
Yeah.
And that would have also created a scenario where...
But that's why... So in that case, if you go to parliament and you don't represent your people, you must leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, the constitution makes it that the circumstance under which you can represent your people, if you're engaged in a crime, I mean, you are not a credible member. I mean, an honorable member of parliament, you don't have to do that. If you don't represent your people properly, you don't have to be in parliament. Your people deserve representation. As for the other things, okay, when you decide to cross, because of the lessons we've learned from the past. But I mean, for me, I mean, let's just adopt a wait and see attitude. The speaker may rule today.
I think this is much ado about nothing. I think this won't go anywhere.
No, it won't go anywhere.
I think this won't go anywhere.
At best, it'll be 137.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this goes anywhere. Parliament itself, the politicians, they have a way of this sorting themselves out on this particular matter. Considering where we are with 50 days on election, I don't think this goes anywhere. They'll debate it, possibly. In fact, if it goes to a committee, if the speaker, of course, will have to give them a certain time frame to return with a report. When that report comes, whether parliament itself has a carry to debate
it or not, is another issue.
I mean, there are plenty of issues that they've left without debating. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you next week.